Last month, police arrested 18-year-old Jack Sawyer after he was accused of plotting a school shooting at Fairhaven High School in Vermont. Among the charges, Sawyer is facing attempted murder. Sawyer bought a gun, wrote extensive plans in a journal, and communicated his intentions to a friend. Witnesses also testified of red flags. But is that enough for prosecutors to prove that Sawyer attempted murder? For more, I spoke to Robert Sand, a former prosecutor and an associate professor at Vermont Law School. I asked him what constitutes an attempted crime under Vermont law.
We might think about sort of the easy attempts and the more complicated attempts. A person goes into a bank intending to rob it and is subdued by a guard. There was an attempted robbery. A person shoots another intending to kill them but misses the mark and wounds them. Not hard to say that that is an attempted murder. Where attempts get complicated is where there is an interruption of the activity earlier in the process. And what the law asks is, has a set of facts moved beyond simply an intent and maybe beyond mere preparation into an overt act in furtherance of the crime?
In the Sawyer case, the state has pointed to a journal and Facebook posts which showed both his plans for a school shooting and a fascination with the 1999 Columbine High School massacre. His plans were detailed. He bought a gun. For someone with a trial at Fairhaven, isn't that enough to charge a person with attempted murder?
So a couple things. What's enough to charge and what is enough to sustain a conviction are different levels of proof. And it is absolutely true that context influences analysis, context influences outcome. And so what might be viewed as mere preparation for a relatively minor offense, a judge might look at as more significant evidence toward an attempt in the context of a potentially lethal event. Now, the purists would say that's not the way the law is supposed to work, but the law is interpreted by human beings, and so a potentially lethal event might influence the analysis that a court uses to decide if an attempt has been committed.
In the Sawyer case, if the state doesn't have enough evidence to continue with these charges, if a judge, say, throws out the charges, can a prosecutor come back with a separate set of charges that might give some satisfaction to those seeking justice in this case?
There's sort of maybe a three-part response, and this, again, just speaking generally. If a charge gets dismissed at a pretrial phase for insufficient evidence and the prosecution acquires additional evidence at a later date, the charge can be refiled. A prosecutor could look for alternative charges. The issue might be if there wasn't enough to establish an attempt in the first instance, there might not be any other charge that could be brought validly as well either. The third is this notion that crimes are supposed to be specified in advance by the legislature. And arguably, we are not supposed to contort an existing law to fit a novel set of facts. Now, what that sometimes means, painfully, is that a certain set of facts don't fit into an existing law, and that motivates the legislature to pass a new law reaching future behavior. And yes, that does mean that a blameworthy individual might not be punished if that behavior didn't fit within an existing law.
There are bills moving through Montpelier right now, sparked and really furthered by this case, the Sawyer case, that would make it easier for police to take firearms from people who pose an extreme risk to themselves or others. From a legal perspective, might that raise some issues of due process?
Well, contrary to certain leaders in this country, due process is critical, and it raises it, and process gets satisfied by providing an adequate and appropriate hearing at which the individual who is at risk of the deprivation is entitled to be heard. So the notion that we remove guns without providing a hearing or mechanism, that's troublesome. But the idea that with appropriate court process, someone who poses an extreme risk could be deprived of a firearm, that seems like a restriction that is both constitutional, consistent with due process in the 14th Amendment, as well as with the Second Amendment.
Robert Sand is an associate professor at Vermont Law School. Robert, thanks for speaking with me.
Happy to do so.